And welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing listeners' questions, some that I have already that were emailed in to me, and this is something that you can do if you are listening to an archive or something like that. You can't listen to the show live, then you can always email your questions in to me at a previous time, and that is if you go to our website at www.spirit-teaching.com and just send us an email from there. Otherwise, if you'd like to join us on the show with a question, it's not a reading style show, but it's basically the spirit world and come in to talk to us about things that they hopefully can enlighten us with, that we have on our mind, that we are interested in knowing about, whether it's to do with this earth, the next life, or other universe. Then the spirit team will be able to help you with that. So it's a free phone number in the US, and that's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hello. I'm Mick Avery, and if you'd like to know, I don't know what I'm saying, really. Anyway, well, hello, friends. This is me, the normal person that I am, and welcome to this show, which is, of course, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's that is at the time of, what's 10 a.m. Pacific?
6
p.m. GMT. Right. Now, as regular listeners will know, incidentally, at this moment in time, we're not actually doing the other program now. Anyway, that's on artistfirst.com, although people can listen to rebroadcasts of it. Now, as regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come back to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking chit-chat or whatever at the beginning of every show because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay always has way lots to say. Incidentally, don't forget that as well as the email account that Sylvie mentioned, enq@spirit-teaching.com, from the spirit-teaching.com website. We also have two other websites, which are www.spiritsworkradio.com and www.mickavery.com. That's for European and English listeners. And you can still use the same email applies to all three sites. Okay, so it's enq@spirit-teaching.com if you want to send in a question or whatever. So anyway, I'm going to leave it there now and have a great show and lights out for me. Thanks. Great. Bye.
Hi, Nick. Gregory Hay, who will be with us very shortly, is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So it's not Mick passing the information through his physical apparatus of his mind and that sort of thing. It's actually a non-physical entity actually taking control of his body and all of the functioning of it. And so it's lights out for Mick, and it's welcome to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. And don't forget that, as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And we also do, although this program isn't about personal readings, we do personal readings, one-to-one telephone readings, well, and in person, but obviously we're in the UK at the moment. So if you're in the UK and you can get to us in the Cotswolds, then you can have a one-to-one with Gregory. Otherwise, it's a telephone or an audio situation where we just send you an audio from you giving us your details of date of birth and that sort of thing. So the Akashic readings that Gregory does are quite different from anything else, and quite a fascinating and helpful reading for your spiritual pathway, to find out all about you and your core energy, your guides and helpers and gifts of spirit and things like that. And you can find out more about that also on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. If you'd like to find out more about that prior to having a reading, or just if you're interested, you can always email me and I'm happy to chat to you about it. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend. Hello, little bird.
Hello.
Greetings, greetings.
Okay. So today, I think last week we mentioned a situation to do with sound and healing frequencies and that sort of thing, colour healing and different types of healing modalities that we hear about. And that was from actually the UK Collective again. They sent me such a long list of questions that we're still going through them. So thank you to the UK Collective. Do keep sending them in. They're really interesting, and I'm sure everybody else gets a lot out of them as well. So can you talk to us about, basically any of the situations to do with sound and healing frequencies?
Yes, very well, my dear friend. So to begin with, then, healing frequencies, sound frequencies, are really also, of course, to do with the physical body frequencies. As I had said previously, the general situation is that human beings fluctuate as a resonant frequency of being in a good form of health and that kind of thing between 200 and 300 or perhaps 400 cycles per second. That is, in fact, a relative frequency, particularly because of the physical body metabolism and that kind of thing. It may also depend a part to do with the species form or genetic hybrid that person happens to become from physically. So that will have a bearing upon it. For example, then, if a person is from a certain breeding, we'll say native peoples, indigenous peoples from certain areas of the planet, we would understand that their vibration frequency would be higher, on the higher end of the registry, purely and simply because they are more naturally spiritually gifted. That doesn't mean to say they have greater spiritual powers or something like that than anyone else from any other genetic. obviously this is a matter of spirit, but it's also a matter of the physical body and how it translates connectivity with the spirit world. So if you're looking at the translation of what are specific energies, it's actually quite difficult to pin it down wholly and solely because of the fact that because each and every one of you are a unique being, and in that respect your genetic is somewhat unique too. You have factions of this and that genetic within you. You are each a part of one another's group in many respects in the physical reality of it, but from the spirit world point of view, there's a much faster range of different possibilities through the whole experience. Now, if you were looking at the optimum state, perhaps, of someone to do with their physical body presence, maybe in the most illuminated states of awareness and heightened awareness, you are looking at somewhere between 800 and 1,200 cycles per second. That means that's the coloration of elation, of bliss. And the magic of it is something that is transmuted then into both color and sound. So ultimately, if you are looking at a person who is meditating, shall we say, then they will be raising their frequency certainly to beyond 300 or possibly even 400 cycles per second. So that means they are dwelling in a state of elated feeling, a state of acute sensitivity, possibly. If a person is meditating and has been doing so for a number of years or whatever, and is gifted in that respect, or has become aligned with their awareness in that respect, it will be that their whole vibration index will have changed in any event, and their commonplace situation would be that their vibration would be perhaps around the upper part of 400 cycles per second. It may well be that for some peoples that they actually live at even faster vibrations than that, perhaps 600 or even 800 cycles per second, although that is more of a rarity. Now, if you were asking as to what the vibration of intention would be if a person was gifted speaking, in a speaking sense, and how that would then vary to the color vibration of their sensitivity, you would say that if they were a communicator, the auric color around them predominantly would be blue. The reason for this is because of the frequency of which they have become awakened or enlivened within their physical stance of their journey as coming through from their spirit orientation. It's not to say that it will always be blue. For some people who are specifically gifted or elated, particularly with animal magic, their vibration will usually be pink. And within the color tone, although it will have tendencies of the much lighter shades of blue and turquoise and that kind of thing. So there will be different color vibrations that come through with this if you were looking at a person aurically to do with their color vibration. You would say, oh, well, very well, I can see then that the aura color of that person is perhaps through pink, turquoise, to a form of perhaps other even deeper blues with their connotations and overtones. You would understand then that person's vibration index may well be anything from 700 down to perhaps 420, or possibly even perhaps 350, depending upon what their orientation was physically, chemically, and genetically.
What do you mean their orientation was?
Well, their orientation was to do with their physical life presence, perhaps not necessarily that they were having a very loving or gifted life, maybe right. That the person was living in absolute squalor and abject poverty. However, spiritually, they may be completely raised and wonderfully gifted in that respect of communication, the arts of communication, not necessarily that they may be aware of it. sometimes people that way gifted are actually blind. Stevie Wonder is a person who is very well known for this.
Mm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And his orientation, if you looked at him and his aura, you would see that it was pink through purple and then to blue overtones around the outside. That's actually because his vibration is at approximately 750 cycles per second. So he's a very loving being, and he's in that vibration most of the time.
Mm. Well, that's interesting, actually pinpointing it down to specific people that we can relate to in that respect.
Well, I thought that I would use that. Mm. I'm sorry, Mr.
Yes.
Wonder, if that means that it's, I do not mean to take a liberty in that respect. Mm. I'm just simply using that situation as a marked person of international notoriety so that it helps people to understand exactly what I'm talking about. I mean no disrespect to Mr. Wonder whatsoever.
Mm. Yes. What about the negativity of the physical earth life with somebody that's like that, with natural abilities?
Ah, but what he is enabled to do is to be able to take negative stances of the earth's physical presence and what events are brought about in that earth's physical presence, and then utilize them as a commentary, in a sense, of his communication skills, which are uppermost in because he has raised his vibration within that communication process, means that he can actually communicate that not as a negative, but as a positive, we must do something about this.
Mm.
And we'll actually shine it as a beacon so that other people will actually take notice, not only take notice, but will take action, direct action, to because they will be convinced, particularly of the heart, of the soul, will be convinced because of his intent and portent is of that vibration that links human beings to their upper house.
Yes.
So yeah, do you
absolutely
see that?
Yes. They wouldn't second question it, basically.
Yes, Michael has the same gift, you see.
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about him too.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
He says as ever.
So basically, people, even through adversity, and obviously those two people have had sort of not the similar type of adversity in their lives, but still had a lot to struggle with. We still see the beautiful expression that they had and have within themselves.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So basically, it would have shone through anyway, regardless.
Yes, and not just because both are equally connected and gifted to being able to impart certain forms of dysteric vibration, such as barrenness, such as a person who's living on the street, who's destitute, a person, and being able to describe those feelings of insecurity and helplessness in a complete and perplexing way that actually lends the person then to actually want to instill and do something themselves. This
mm.
vibration of 750 cycles per second is absolutely miraculous at being able to do that.
Yes. Well, we need somebody with that. Now there's a point. I was just going to say we need somebody running our countries with that sort of vibration then, don't we?
More so, yes.
Mm. So,
a shame it isn't.
Okay, in
However,
this country, what
well,
about
yes,
in America?
Master Obama.
Yes.
Yes, I understand.
I mean, taking into account that these people in those situations, had their hands tied to a certain extent anyway.
Of course, by the constraints of their office and of the situation around them.
Yes.
The various government departments.
But potentially.
Well, potentially, my dear friend, if he actually had his own way and was able to change the status, if people simply allowed him to do that because currently the present status isn't working, plainly it isn't working, because that's why North America has descended into the mess it has, simply following the same game plan that everyone else has had, simply means they have to try something else. They don't have an alternative. And if it were then, it would be that you would see that Mr. Obama's resonance energy is something in the region of around 520 to 670. It fluctuates a great deal and also descends a great deal as well. I have to say, it can oftentimes be seen as being much lower at around 320. And that's simply and purely because of his very empathic way with situations to do with family, situations to do with that affect him and his heart, how the pain then creates within him. It's in a sense, it sometimes hits him sideways, and that's a part of the situation, really to do with his own sense of vulnerability as well. I have to say, that's still evident. It's not to say that he does not have this air of superiority, in fact, which is something I'm not suggesting that the other two did at all.
No, heaven forbid.
Not at all, no.
The thing is, it's good that, so people that can actually get this expression out, is that is a lot healthier for that person as well, isn't it?
Of course,
can see these, because that can be a lot of the problems with people, even if they do have this these high cycles of their vibration.
Yes.
If it's turned inward and everything is just totally negative and they can't actually find expression at all.
Yes.
Then what happens to the cycle then?
Well, that's the point, my dear friend. That I'm so pleased that you raised this, because oftentimes what can happen is that there is such dysteric energy that's created through their inability to actually be able to get it out, to let it out, that what actually happens is a physical situation of their synapse breaking down simply from the distress of not being able to illuminate what they know that they can create, or you see?
Okay.
So, and that is what you call frustration.
Okay, so what, like a mental breakdown or emotional breakdown?
Absolutely, yes, it can be either. And that would see that person actually with incredible mood swings from one situation to another. And this actually is one of the situation cycles, cycle events, that happen to people that are suffering from this inability to remonstrate their own insightful presence. And what will happen is that oftentimes you'll see these people moving, dashing from one mood situation to another, usually climbing great cliffs and then just jumping off again at the other end, purely and simply because of their inability to cope or to be heard, to be listened to. And that creates a fundamental dysteric attitude and energy within them. It forces these plummets like chemical derisions, like as though they have been just simply withdrawn completely. And that will send them into not moods of chaos, but actually quite detrimental to their physical brainwave activity.
This is why it's so important, isn't it, to nurture people's individual gifts when they're children.
Oh, yes,
rather
absolutely.
Than trying to stick people in a box, if, you know, that you've painted for them because you want your child to be this, to grow up to be that, to do this, to that, you know, maybe something that's kept in the family or whatever.
Yes, yes,
That's actually quite detrimental, isn't it?
It is, absolutely so. It's one of those situations as well that you find the great balance leveler to do with family situations whereby there perhaps are not two parents. And I'm not leveling this at saying there should only ever be families with two parents. Not at all.
No.
Because there are obvious gains to be had for any family which is then split apart through one fundamental reason or another. After all, it may well be that the partner of the family actually passes to outside of life. What then? So there are any amount of different kinds of dysteric activity or activities which are of lower vibration, which then create anomalies both within the mind and physically upon the consciousness of the synapse and their connectivity with the various neurological pathways, as well as having these other, in a sense, intrinsic effects upon the well-being and state of that person. So you would see then a climbing effect of that person's vibration when they are happiest. Particularly, I have to say, if you have a situation of a family whereby, let me see now, yes, whereby the parent, shall we say that one parent of a child has in fact denied that child's existence or simply walked away from it and will have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with that relationship or even the responsibility of it. What will often happen in that kind of situation is like a one-sided form of climbing, because the child's struggling with its energy, climbing to do with how that child can then focus in a completed way. I'm not saying that it will always happen. I'm just saying that sometimes it happens this way, and then they have tremendous crashes of confidence and crises which then interplay within their lives, not simply because of this disparaged, fractioned relationship with the other parent who is no longer present, but obviously aware of their presence. The situation can become then quite difficult for that child to manage, and you would see usually around the age of 9 or 10 years of age that the pattern of this unacceptable behavior by their parent, perhaps creating total rejection of the child, will actually see a specific kind of pattern orientation then relived within the child, and which then may take place for some years and be quite destructive for the child. So you can understand then the different pattern pathways of this kind of behavior, and we see it again and again within many situations of difficulty within relationships, family relationships, that kind of thing, particularly when parents don't get on. You can see that various dysphoric patterns build up within the children, and you can see that their vibration fluctuates actually on quite a high end of the scale, because in some respects they're very happy, like for example when they play with animals and that kind of thing, they get very engrossed in that. It's a very empathic region for them, very good for them too, to be able to do that. You need to include animals if you can in a child's life, particularly in those nurturing times of between six, the age of six, and perhaps 10 or 12, purely and simply because they are symptomatic for them. They help them overcome these problem barriers and situations if they should actually be in the way of their in the way of them being able to raise their vibration in any other way. You see?
Yes.
So they're not placebos. They're actually helping them physically to overcome, repair the synapse damage that's been created by the dysphoric relationships of their parents or whatever.
Or just life.
Or just life in general. Yes. Absolutely so. I'm not pointing to one thing or another, really. Yes. I'm just saying it, using it as a tool to enable people to understand what it is that I'm actually talking about.
Right.
And if you looked at this aurically in a color variation, you would see that their color fluctuates between red and orange and also green as they become enlivened by the possibility of the relationship with the animal. Green always illuminates around animals and your relationship with them, not in a lovey-dovey way, in a sort of a over-emotional burdensome way, but rather in a healthy attitude towards animals when you are taking it out for walks or whether you're petting it because it's a cat or something like that, or you're reacting with it in some other way because it's a pet rat, snake or spider, you will actually see that the auric pattern will change within the child and it will become green, harmonic, blending into blues and overtones of loving auric intensity, as well as yellows too for brightness of spirit, for that illumination to really begin on the surface, because animals exchange the love freely, even spiders, yes, freely to that which is given to them. I understand that in that respect, that the way in which you would then orientate the child is simply by using the animal relationship that they have to the best effect. and simply, in a sense, enhance it, say, using it as a good physical vehicle for that child to express itself, as well as giving confidence in the reassurance of that kind of relationship, that it's something that they would then be able to adopt further and later in life to their meaningful partner relationships of their own.
Hmm. Okay, so this this vibration cycle, if there's somebody, say, for instance, that has a vibration cycle of the 700s,
yes,
that you said was quite rare,
yes,
and even 800, and if this person was giving healing to somebody, could this actually be transmitted to the recipient, as in a permanent situation?
Not
channeled through,
well,
you know, what I'm saying.
It's, if you were talking about a person who is a facilitator, a healer,
yes,
and you want to, and that person then is to, you're saying, to imbibe this energy within that other person.
Mm.
No, it would be a temporary energy, really, because it will be connected by the spirit team to do that specific job of work.
Mm.
So it's not that it would then mean that the energy would simply dissipate because the spirit energy was no longer around, or the spirit presence was no longer around, or the facilitator was no longer around. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying simply that the spirit energy to do with that is to do with a specific deed or purpose. It has possibly to do with the fact that the facilitator may be just simply using their hands-on experience for that facility energy to transmute from the one being via the spirit world to the other being. Simply then what will happen is that the spirit world, or the team involved, will actually use that energy in order to put the things right they need to put right.
Mm. So if a healer is giving you healing, for instance, then obviously we hope that that person has a nice vibration anyway, or else it's not going to be enjoyable, is it? It's not actually going to be, well, happening, presumably.
No, that's not necessarily the case.
Well,
I have to say,
okay,
just because a person's a healer doesn't make them a nice person.
No, but that's what I'm saying. No, true. No, true.
Same as a medium.
Okay, but then, for instance, what I'm saying is, if the healer is an aggressive, negative person,
yes,
then it's not going to feel good, is it?
No, it isn't. No,
if you're
that's
having
because
healing,
you're feeling that person's dystopic energy.
Well, exactly. So,
yes.
My point is then that so the situation that you feel when you're having a healing from this person has to be a nicer experience with somebody of that the higher cycle.
Yes, one would hope so, and one would expect that to be the case. Yes, quite so. I totally agree with you, friend. In actual fact, I simply meant that within what I was saying, that the situation of a person not necessarily being a nice person, but they may be a good facilitator of spirit energy.
Exactly. So basically, it's not, you know, because people say, oh, yes, oh, they're very a powerful healer. Nobody's a powerful healer, are they?
No.
They might have a nice vibration and a good ability to actually allow the spirit energy, healing energies, universal, whatever energy it is, to flow through them and
yes,
be a facilitator.
Yes, quite so. So they are a good facilitator. They're a clear facilitator for spirit energy. Spirit energy isn't new. It's ancient, as ancient or more ancient than you are. It's more ancient than your spirit is. Because the universe and the spirit side of life has been in existence for longer than the universe itself. Simple as that, really.
Mm.
So when you are connecting with the spirit universal energy, you are actually connecting with the supreme energy of all life.
Absolutely.
That's the same as your spirit energy.
Mm, which is why we suggest that you meditate a lot, everybody, because
yes, yes,
you are, you know, drawing in that energy to you to become more usable by you, shall we say.
Yes,
isn't
absolutely
it?
So.
More at hand. Yes. So, and presumably when you are having healing from somebody of this nature, like we were talking about,
yes,
of this higher cycle frequency,
yes,
presumably something else that you are picking up when you're having healing from this person, that which makes it really nice, is that they've got no ego, because they wouldn't have, would they, with that with that vibration?
Well, no, that's surely. Very true. Yes, one would hope. Yes, that's quite true.
Because
yes.
So let's talk about the opposite then. Ego. What cycles per? Can you measure that?
Well, ego is actually very difficult because it comes as an adaptation of another person's energy. So it's like an add-on. It's like wearing a certain kind of bathing suit, but actually you're walking around with an umbrella that facilitates your inability or the use of the bathing suit that you're wearing.
But we're not saying that you shouldn't have any ego. We're not saying
no,
that,
indeed
are we?
Not.
Because you need it to survive.
You need it to survive as a human being, as a physical being in a physical presence.
Mm.
So don't say that I have no ego at all, because otherwise you'd be simply a slug on a mat.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
So you have to have ego in order to facilitate decision making, in order to facilitate any kind of condition of physical life. Whether you want to eat, whether you want to drink, whether you want to create something of yourself.
Get a job.
For yourself. Yes, absolutely so. Yes, yes. Mm. Or even go out and forage for food. Mm. You need to have a form of intrinsic, instinctive ego that drives you to do that.
Mm. Survival method ego.
Yes, yes, quite so. Mm. But that's quite different.
Yeah.
And we have talked about that in the
yes,
past.
Yes, we have.
The different forms of ego and what facilitates the difference between instinctive and behavioural.
Mm. Yes. And, okay, well, can we talk about the sound and healing frequencies that our UK collective, and actually I did have an email from somebody else and a conversation with somebody else about talking about this.
Yes, I understand. Well, the sound situation to do with this is not specifically, how can I say this, quite difficult. In some respects, the sound frequencies are also hinged upon the same frequency response of a physical human being, but you don't necessarily have to know all about those in order to understand whether sound healing actually works for you or not. It may well be that the kind of voice that iterates the sound for you to have sound healing from can be irksome, can be annoying, can be extremely disharmonic for you as a being, and you might actually find yourself laughing until you fall off the apparatus that you're lying on.
Okay, having
so,
healing, yes.
Yes, absolutely, because quite simply, it's just that for some people, you see, if a person is giving you, shall we say, sound healing, and that you are not responding to the sound healing given, but instead you're seeing this as quite an odd experience, can be partly to do with the petition of your mind as a being having the experience. You've asked for the experience, now put up and shut up, basically, and you have to just sort of lie there and grin and bear it. But my point is, if you as a physical being actually let go part, you see, of what you would be doing in your response, perhaps saying, oh, I don't know about this, and you're, in a sense, laughing behind your hand or whatever, because you're not quite sure how to respond to the respect of the person giving you sound healing, it may well be that actually throws up a dysstoic effect, and therefore the sound healing simply cannot get through. Mm-hmm. It alters you and your own spirit's frequency and vibration to be able to respond to it in kind. The point is that a sound healer who has become understanding of various frequencies, not necessarily that they know them as a specific signatory, it may just be that they feel empathically connected to that person through a certain quality of sound that they may take them several minutes to tune into before they find exactly the right frequency with which to continue within the healing process. So what it is, you see, that I'm trying to explain here is that for some people, when they're patients, they're unwitting patients, they might not want to be patients. It may well be, it's actually a situation that they want to have facilitated for them, but they don't really know how to respond. Simply, all they need to really do is to let go and just allow the process to happen. And what will then happen is, because they're not throwing up any stoic disturbances to the sound healing, that it's then something that the sound healer themselves are able to find the right frequency with which to raise that person's vibration or alter a certain setting to do with something that may be wrong with them. For example, what could be wrong with them? It could be that their kidney function has gone down a bit, that it's not functioning the way it should be. Kidney function has very specific frequencies. The specific frequencies of organs, you have to understand, are different from the general overall feeling of the human physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking of between 300 and 400 cycles per second. We are talking in terms of sometimes, for example, kidney may well fluctuate between 96 and 116 cycles per second. The reason for this specific function is because of the functioning that the kidneys actually have to create. This is only in human beings, incidentally. It's not mm-hmm. the same in other animals. They all have different frequency responses depending upon what the species orientation is.
Okay.
Because the size of their organs also fluctuate, as well as, and I know full well, dear friend, that within this specific situation, you would say, well, certain human beings, their kidneys, organs will actually be different because of the human physical genetic, or perhaps even just simply their birth, or simply because of the way that their cells have been made up. So some people, their kidneys will function better than others. That's why I'm saying between 96 and 116 cycles per second, the ordinary, normal functioning kidney of a male will be operating at, and 98 to 120 cycles per second will be the functioning state of a female's kidneys.
Okay, so like you said, each organ has a different cycle per second.
A different vibration frequency.
Yes, so so with the sound healing, whether it's what voice, Tibetan bowls, or in whatever way it is,
yes.
Then that would, how would a person know this?
Well, it's a matter of understanding, because what would actually be happening is that if you were using, for example, Tibetan singing bowls, the situation will be that you would need a large low bowl in order to intonate the right connectivity to vital organ sensation. If you are looking to resonate that person with the higher aspects of consciousness, you will be using a fairly small Tibetan singing bowl to produce a high frequency note, or a range of notes between various different states of it, and then depending upon how quickly you pass the situation, how quickly you make the circular sound,
yes.
By creating a vibration around its rim, is really going to be to do with the speed with which you create that, the circular motion. And then the specific frequencies of it are going to be determined then, not necessarily about it only producing one note, but it's actually producing many other harmonics within its physical state.
Mm.
And it's actually the other harmonics that you don't necessarily hear as a physical being, but that are actually conditioning to do with the vital organs and that kind of thing. So if you were dealing with a situation where you perhaps you need to connect with that person and to be able to bring up their vital organs to a certain specific. Maybe they're having trouble breathing. Maybe the person is actually in a dietary need. Perhaps it is that person is unable to actually transport the poisons that their physical body is producing in the normal combustion, normal way of abrogating food, the normal way of creating energy from food, always results in creating poisons as well. If the liver or if the kidney function is failing in some respect to do with the poisons of the physical body, or if the liver function is failing to do with the eradication of certain forms of the white corpuscle situation, or the status to do with the actual blood chemistry, if that is something which is beginning to default on or that is lowering in its ability, you obviously need to be able to create something which will perhaps then be useful maybe in uncovering blockages. Yes, to stimulate that organ into uncovering its own blockages, so actually freeing itself, and then the person would automatically, once you've made that connection, the right form of connection, of course, you need to hold on to it, but only for a specific amount of time. This is something else that the therapist would actually learn, really, to do with these physical body cycles and actually just what makes it the right thing. You would see by looking at, by the therapist looking into the person's face as to what then constitutes the right time to let go of that energy, purely and simply because it will always be within the face that the matters of such blockages to do with kidney or liver or some other physical body function like that of the very equilibrium harmonic based organs that are present in the physical body, and when their well-being is put back into equilibrium, it automatically shows within the face almost straight away.
And presumably
actually just underneath the eyes.
And presumably within their whole, they would feel it within themselves. The patient.
Oh yes, absolutely. But I'm saying though, if you're looking for actual physical signs for doing this.
So yes, but a lot of this is, I mean, if the patient didn't know that they had a problem there, this is all to do with very, very careful and
extremely
highly
careful.
Developed
yes.
sensitivities to do with the practitioner.
Yes, absolutely so. Yes, quite so. It's not just a matter of doing it anything. You have to really practice.
Well, yes, but presumably it's not really the sort of thing you can learn, is it? I mean, obviously people do, but I don't see how you can actually... well, it's a weird thing, you know, a kidney doesn't speak back or nobody
quite
can
so.
Say, feels right or wrong or...
No, but that's why I say that it actually comes out in the face, you see?
Yeah.
Of the person that you're bringing about this, facilitating this healing for.
So presumably the spirit world would have people working through somebody.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
To get
so.
To bring this information and... evidence on a different level for them as they work,
yes,
really. So
yes.
it would all be down
it's
to development.
It's a gradual process.
But presumably, you know, the overall general health situation, if that was balanced, then, you know, other things, unless there's weaknesses, genetic problems, then other things will take care of themselves, won't they?
Yes, quite so. Now, for example, then, if you have someone who smokes cigarettes, that's obviously throwing out a balance. To do with the kidney function. Purely and simply, it's not just to do with the nicotine within their physical body then illuminating their skin in a certain color, which is obviously what happens. It's also then transmuted into the auric field, also some dystoic patterning and coloration of their auric field because they are smoking cigarettes or because they're smoking something else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they're smoking. It's just the whole thing of taking smoke of one concoction, whatever it is, into your lungs. So a person who perhaps is a native person who is very much connected with their native ancestry and smokes a lot, perhaps they're smoking a peace pipe for the communication process that then ensues. I have often heard it said that for some, they would say, oh, well, I would never take this, the energy of the smoke into my lungs. Well, the whole point of doing it is that you actually are not necessarily going to do that. You are doing it as a spiritual ease. You're not doing it as a physical ease to create something else of a physical or chemical reaction. What you will see in someone who actually smokes a pipe or a cigarette or something like that, doesn't matter what form they take, you will see that the interaction with them and with their ability to combat such things as poisons, other poisons that the physical body takes into itself, is then, in a sense, limited by its reactivity. So you will see that that person will actually find it quite difficult. Of course, the cigarette smoking is like a diuretic, so that it means that it's cutting down, substituting your dietary needs and your taste sensation as a physical being, but not as a spirit being. So it means to say that just because a person smokes doesn't mean to say that they're going to be spiritually inactive. Oftentimes it will be quite the reverse, in fact, strangely enough. But there have been many a medium that we have noted and seen as they nervously smoke in the wings before they're about to connect to the spirit world.
So what is it with sound healing that that tells the brain? What does it tell the brain? Because a lot of it surely has got to be subliminal, or, you know, psychosomatic, or whatever, however you like to call it. Because, you know, I mean, if I'm having a Reiki or a good massage, you know, even just putting the nice music on and the candles, and I'm feeling great.
Yes, of course. You know? Yes.
So how much of it is just the situation of actually being there and relaxing and enjoying the moment?
Well, to begin with, my dear friend, the very fact of you actually lying down and putting on a piece of music and being, knowing that you're in the care of someone else, actually does you a great deal of good. Even if then there were no hands upon you or whatever, that you just did that. Yes. That would be something that would be outside of your normal experience or escapement from the situation of your physical life. So simply, it's not psychosomatic. None of it is psychosomatic. You're actually dealing with it by wanting to go through the experience. You paid to go through the experience, or you've asked for the experience to happen. Therefore, you are actually asking to let go.
It's simply your time just be a blob.
Yes, so it isn't a psychosomatic experience. It's actually a worthwhile giving experience that you actually are meant to receive.
Being good to yourself.
Yes, and
allowing
actually,
yourself to, yes, to take, to, yes, receive.
And actually allowing yourself to receive is part of the blissful nature that then helps to raise your vibration, because it's actually very difficult, particularly for human beings, I understand, to receive anything. It's very difficult. They feel embarrassed, or oftentimes beside themselves with their newfound energy.
Yeah, I mean, that can even go to having your hair done or something, can't it? I mean,
or nails, yes.
Or nails, yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's just about that. It's people being good to themselves in whatever way, because usually you are last on the list.
Yes.
Especially if you're a female, I have to say.
Yes. Well, quite so, yes, I suppose. Never having been one myself.
Well, no, but that does tend to be the situation a lot of the time, don't you think?
Yes, I understand that.
Is that because we are sort of like carers intrinsically?
Generally, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, quite so. And also, of course, being leaders of the pack inherently.
I like you, Gregory.
The matriarchal society and all of that. Well, I'm only simply saying this, citing this as a part of the pathway. If you look at all primates, you will see that the matriarch of the pack, or whatever the pack is, it may be a pack of two, or it may well be a pack of 100,000 or more. You will see that the matriarchs of that society are the only ones with any real sense. Because usually what will happen is that
the male energy of the society will be the fractious state, will be the wanting to go out and deal with this in a certain way, rather than actually understanding that there is a great deal more that they have to learn. So it's in a sense, I'm not being generalistic about this, it's just a fact that the world would be, your world would be a lot safer place if women took the predominant role.
Mm.
And it's a fact, unfortunately, for men as far as they are concerned. But that is simply a learning lesson for males to become more familiar with their more sensitive nature. I am not laying this same condition at the way in which males who have a great deal of their female nature or are aware or aligned to their female nature, just simply being a being.
Yes. Well,
that does not discount them or rule them out. It means that they are much more empathic with the right kind of resonant frequency that allows them to make good and honourable decisions rather than people who, other males who do not.
Mm, absolutely. And that can be a lot of the problem with that some males find when they have grown that sensitivity and can appreciate the female and the both sides of
yes,
their
yes.
nature.
Absolutely.
That they can come into conflict with what their role is in the world, and they thought, maybe they get a bit confused about, they thought that they were this and this is how they were brought up, and now they are more spiritually aware, etc., etc.
Yes,
so everything changes, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it's like as though they've left all of that behind, and they really struggle with it. Mm. And I do understand that. I wholeheartedly do understand that.
Mm. Yes. Once again, that's yet another program, probably. Okay. I think we've come to time for a quick.
Well,
that went quick, didn't it?
Yes, it did, yes. Well, with love and light, blessings be upon your pathways, my dear friend. God bless upon your journey, everyone. God bless. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you, Gregory. Yes, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention our website. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. Do give us a visit. Maybe you'd like an Akashic reading with Gregory. Nevertheless, there's plenty of information on there for you to have a good look round. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.